You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Juju, I don't know if you've been watching what's been going on Twitter and the outrage that's been pouring out because somebody somewhere unearthed a report card. I don't even know what the timing is on this. What year is this report card? And if you don't know what we're talking about, Kumo D, a legendary artist.
Yes.
Tastemaker, musical savant, put out a report card. Probably what?
2003. I think it's 2003. I think it came out in a book, if I'm not mistaken. And the book was written late 90s.
Okay.
So it's a late 90s report card of, you know what I mean, the top artists in the game at that time.
And we're looking at, you know, Jay, DMX, Master P is in here, Big Pun, Corrupt. Yeah. Keith Murray, Too Short. Black Thought, who's out here doing it, by the way. Black Thought's killing it.
Everybody you naming is a legend.
Yes.
Every single person that you name is a legend. Nobody is unbelonging. Nobody is undeserving. Everything on this list is, everybody on this list is certified. You know what I mean?
Mace.
Thousands. Yeah, I with Mace. Salute to Mace.
Okay.
This third time when Mace was Harlem World, you don't stop. Goddamn, he had Baby Stace with him. You know what I mean? His little sis. Come on, salute Baby Stace, man. Harlem World, I see you. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
Yes.
Salute to the Road Rats. I see you, Tommy Pickles. Let's go. You know what I mean?
So Kumo D came out with a bunch of different grades, and he had 10 different factors, and he gave everybody a number, and the highest rating he gave was to Lauryn Hill. He gave Biggie and Tupac 95s. Lauryn Hill got a 97, by the way. Like, there's so much that we could talk about on this list, but I have an idea.
Yeah, okay.
This may be crazy, okay? Why don't we get somebody on that list to talk about that list?
How the hell are you going to do that, goddamn?
M-E-T-H-O-D, man!
You wear your hat like, you remember that crew, ABC?
Yeah, I mean, BBD, goddamn.
Yeah, my boy, the dude that, he wasn't a part of ABC, but he was like the MC, the older kid. He was like, yeah, we got brother in the house and that. Very cool, brother. I love the shirt, too. Love it.
Appreciate it, bro. Like, we were talking about the gym about a month and a half ago. You came in my gym, and it was in Atlanta, and I was like, bruh, you remember that shit?
Yeah, I was out there working on a movie. A lot of people showed me love out there, too.
Hell yeah. But we can jump right into this Kumo D list from 2003 of late 90s. I don't know when this came out, but boy. First and foremost, congratulations on being nominated, first off, for the NAACP Image Award. Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Big salute.
From what you used to start with, Mary J. with the one eye. Now you know what I mean? Getting real respect in these streets. Salute, big brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
So how you feel about this Kumo D list, B, bro?
It's crazy because when I was shooting the Meth and Red show, this was back in, I think around that time when he was doing the thing, he told me about it. He said that he had a rating list for MCs and I wanted to know where I rated at. And I think it was a book he had or something like that. Maybe it was a book. Yeah. You know, I might be mistaken. But, you know, I don't really pay attention to lists. I tend to stay away from them, you know, because I never like where I'm ranked at anyway. Even if I was number one, I'd probably be mad at that because I think I'm too high. You know, just one of those guys, never satisfied kind of thing. But for me, you know, Mo D is certified.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody that sees this got to take it with a grain of salt. He's from a different era, but he is still an MC.
Matt, he gave you a 91. You deserve more than that?
What, a 91?
Yeah, on your report card, you got a 91 from
Kumo. Wow, I got a 91? Yeah. Damn, I ain't even get those in school. That's crazy. I got that in the School of Hard Knocks. That's dope. Thank you, Kumo D.
Yeah. He wasn't so generous to Jigga Man, DMX, and the rest. He got, I mean, salute to Kumo D, legend. You know what I mean? Without you, life. You know what I mean? But he got my brother, Mr. Cal, above Jay-Z. And I don't know if I was alive in that era or was this from the Spider-Verse or the Metaverse?
Well, not to play devil's advocate, but Mystical is dope.
I mean,
I'm Mystical, I get it. You know, I there's a lot of Mystical fans out there that'll argue that fact. But then again, there's a lot of Jay-Z fans out there that'll argue that fact. And Jay's body of work really speaks for itself. So I can see why people have a problem with that.
I think the list doesn't take in longevity, right? Like, that's one of the things that Kumo D was saying. He's like, it's not about longevity. It's about when I did it, right? Because obviously you see Mystical's career and you see Jay's career completely different. You can't even grade them on the same scale. But I think that's
people take things out of context because they put it in the here and now. It doesn't matter what the time frame was until you put it into another context for them and let them know. That's why it's great that y'all doing this right now, because it's going to put things into context for people and they'll be a little bit less opinionated.
Salute to the times and the bodies of work, but I just seen Sticky Fingers with the better amount of work than the chef, Raekwon. You know what I mean? He got Sticky Fingers over the chef. So, like you said, I'm not sure what the criteria was, but
in that era, you can't take anything away from Sticky. When Onyx was out and Onyx was hot, everybody was waiting for the Sticky Fingers verse. I'm sorry, it was just that way. That's what he might not have been your favorite MC, but in that era, he was a lot of people's favorite. And that's not taking anything away from Raekwon, because Raekwon made a 5-mic album. Only Built from Cuban Links is a classic, you know? So people are going to put that up against a Sticky verse. That's not fair. But again, like I said, things get taken out of context because they're not putting a time frame on it. Mm-hmm. And people are going to have their opinions because of other things that factor into it, like you said, longevity, body of work, you know, consistency, things of that nature.
First off, Meth, rest in peace, Biggie. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Kumo D gave him a 95, and that's only second to the amazing Miss Lauryn Hill, who got a 97. What I want to know is, as I think the only feature on Ready to Die, you came in with the what? How is that session with Biggie? In the studio, like, take me through that night.
He wasn't Big Papa then, though. He was just Biggie, you know what I'm saying? But me knowing how Brooklyn was, I knew off top that he was gonna be my kind of dude and shit, you know, my kind of dude. Funny as hilarious. You know, him and Puff had this camaraderie, this brotherhood where they could say the rudest shit to each other and not be offended.
Man.
You know what I mean? It was that, and in the session, even me and Puff even played f***ing torture in that session and shit. But don't get it twisted. Biggie was very accommodating to anybody that he had love for. You can ask anybody that knew that man. You know what I'm saying? It's tragic the way he was taken from us, but his legacy is so powerful that, you know, he's still in everybody's top five, and he ain't had an album out in, you know, decades. Right. You know what I mean?
Even back then, you was even Mobb Deep, you know what I mean? Extortion, all the real deal classics, you know what I mean? Yeah. You managed to find your way on all of them, you know what I mean? And you was on Conway shit last year, you know what I mean? The album of the year last year. So it's like, I don't know too many people with more longevity than the kid Method Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's because I love what I do, brother. And what there was a long time period where I didn't even have time enough to think for myself. So it was like when you were part of a group, Wu-Tang, and you're making an album for that, then you're part of a duo with Redman and you got to put music out for that. And then you got to put out these solo projects, you become overwhelmed. And not just that, not to mention the many features that I was doing in between. Like, if you look at my discography, bro, it's like there's so many songs in that catalog that I can make an album off just features alone. Like 3-4 albums off just features alone. And that what falls by the waistline is that you don't have enough time to write, and you're doing it because you have to, not because you want to. So you kind of lose love for it. So there's been a lot of years where I was just jotting, and it was warranted that people would say things like, well, you know, this one's better than Method Man. Method Man didn't. And this is where comments from MCs come in, where they're a little skeptic about, where they were a little skeptic about my lyrical ability. Because I was jotting. Anybody to the untrained eye, shit sound phenomenal. The flow is crazy, but what is he saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now to the trained eye, it's like, okay, that shit sound good, but what the fuck is he saying? That kind of thing, you know what I mean? So for me, it was like, I knew I was capable of doing that. I just didn't have enough time to do that. Especially when you're in the studio session at that point in time and the clock ticking. Right then and there, it's better. You basically freestyling, but you writing the shit down. You know right. what I mean? But when I got time to actually sit down, and when it wasn't any pressure to write anymore, and I said, the business, and I kind of stepped away from hip hop, that's when I started doing my best writing ever. And then I put another thing on top of that when I stopped cursing. And it wasn't because I didn't want to offend anybody. That was a personal choice just to elevate my writing skills more. And it worked. And also, last but not least, the battery that really gave me the battery to still be raw on this mic. I remember listening to Sean Price, and I had no idea it was Ruck from Helter Skelter.
Dang.
Right? And I mean, we basically grew up with these like, these is our cousins. Wu-Tang and Duck Down is cousins. And the shit was amazing to me because it was like, holy shit, he do a lot of... Because you remember Ruck was a flow. He used to flow. He had them flows. And, you know, you would wait for his verses too, but Rock with that voice would overpower him.
Right.
And you never knew that Sean P had a skill set like that until he became Sean, or he's always been Sean P, but when he started putting out them Sean P joints, flooding it, and the darts was, I mean, when I ran into the guy, I was like, yo, how, like you having a rap written like, what made you turn your pen game on 10 like that? Like, your shit is on fire. And he just looked at, you know, Sean P demeanor. Yo, son, you know, I'm better than these. And I thought about that shit and I was like, wow, that's the key right there. Right? Like, you know, you better than these. And I've been doing it ever since. Rest in peace, Sean P.
They gave us a glimpse of how that writing pressure was on y'all whenever in the Wu-Tang, was it Wu-Kang Saga on Hulu?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all all in the yo, like, you know what I mean? Salute to Dave East for doing a phenomenal job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Salute to Dave East.
You know what I mean? And be y'all in the studios like, yo, you next. You know what I mean? It's like, oh. Like, salute to the RZA. But yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but back then, though, honestly, I was always ready.
Okay.
I had rhymes on deck, like, and a lot of them hooks and shit was like, because I finished first. So I could write the hook now. Everybody else still writing, so I'm writing the hook and shit, you know what I mean? But yeah. They're pretty solid. I say it's 60-40 truth.
Meth, what's the quickest you've written a verse in?
Woo!
I was like, I gotta get this shit down now.
The what?
Really?
That shit like that, yeah. Because the energy in the room was just so good and casual. Plus, when you step in the room, when somebody asks you to get on a record with them, that means they respect you.
Yeah.
Not only respect you, they love your lyrical play. So it makes it way easier. It's no pressure. It makes it way easier when you step in there. That's why people say my features sound better than some of my albums and shit. Yeah. I mean, the confidence factor is there. It's something to feed off of. But when you're sitting in the studio by yourself and you're trying to create songs and shit, that's the worst place to do it. I would suggest that MCs today write your shit in a safe space at home, and then go to the studio and just knock them shits out one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. You know, don't write there in the studio. Writing in the studio is the lamest shit in the world.
What's the biggest bag you gotten for a feature?
Not telling you. I got some big ones, though.
You got, some big ones? Like, back in the
day. I would ask Redman that because he got on a Christina Aguilera single. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
that bag still was, coming in there.
That bag was major. Shout out to Christina. Shout out to Rockwalla.
Yes, sir. I just seen you need that $500,000 from Kane.
From Tyreek.
You know what I mean? Monique and them. That's major, bro. How does it, to go from playing in 187 with Sam Jackson, you know what I mean? Gangster kid in school slicing up. How it feel to go from that to playing an attorney now? You know what I mean? Like
the attorney, not just a attorney, the attorney in New York City.
The attorney. Bentley truck attorney. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, if I can speak for Davis McLean, I'd say it's pretty cool to be at the top of my game in the lawyer field, to have clients that constantly call on me for my assistance. And it's great that I can showcase my skills in a court of law.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool, man. It's just a great transition because beforehand, you know, myself and Redman, we were known for comedy, even in our music somewhat. And that, I mean, all that's cool and stuff because I like to have fun, but that wasn't really my passion right there. I'm more serious and laid back than anything else. That's why people would be thrown off sometimes when I'm quiet in the room and shit. They think I'm gonna bring the party with me. Nah, it's not always like that. But with that being said, I'm glad that 50 and Courtney gave me an opportunity to showcase my talents. I worked hard to get where I'm at. This was not easy. They didn't just throw this shit at me and have me. No, I actually went to school to work, worked with coaches. Prior to even getting this part. So yeah. I did the work. I've been on independent films where we made little to no money, shot in deserts for 3 weeks, in the middle of nowhere, eating gas station food, things like that. You know what I mean? And this is 20 years into my career. So when you humble yourself like that, people take notice. And all you ask for is to a chance to show them that you are willing to do the work.
You and Mary J, you know what I mean? Y'all kind of had this start together back in the early 90s on you.
Mary started on her own. She was gracious. I mean, and I repeat, gracious enough to get on that single with me, man. And she won her first Grammy based off of that single. And can't nobody take that from me. I'm going to go to my grave with that. I got Mary J her first Grammy. Or we got each other.
Yeah.
Our first Grammys, you know what I'm saying? But she's got plenty of Grammys after that. So, you only get one first. And we got our first acting award together. We won last year for NAACP Award, Image Award.
How was the transition from hip-hop to making movies? Because obviously you're the biggest thing in hip-hop. You're part of one of the greatest rap collectives ever. And then all of a sudden you got to start from the bottom. Like you said, making movies in deserts, eating gas station food. Like, how was that transition? Saying like, was it something like, I'm Method Man, what am I doing? Or was it just that more studious thing of like, let me learn the game just like I learned hip hop?
Well, I had the trial by fire early in my career. You know, me and Redman had our own movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not only that, we had our own TV show. And there were mistakes made here and there. So I knew it just came too fast. And we were kind of ready, but we weren't super duper ready to take on whatever it was because we didn't know what we were doing. Later on, I knew that if I did come back to acting once I came back, that it would be a long road and that, you know, you're only as good as your last hit literally in Hollywood. Like you could have had a box office hit last year and this year nobody even knows who the fuck you are and shit. That's how Hollywood works. So I knew it was going to be a grind. And I could just tell all my rap leets, I like to call them rap leets, just don't think that you're just going to jump in it and do it because it's a lot more layers to it than that. I would say start small and work your way up, man. Be humble.
Who you got winning the Super Bowl this year? Pressure.
Come on, ain't no pressure shit. Dan knows that I'm a Jet fan, so fuck who's in the Super Bowl. Fuck the Super Bowl. The teams, like all of them can eat shit and die. But if I can pick one, I want to see Brady do it again just for spite.
Really?
Why? You know what I mean? Yeah, just for spite, man. Because, you know, I'm older and I want to see an older cat show these youngins that you can never count us out. If you think about it, the quarterback position, a lot of them last the longest in the league because they don't take a lot of the hits that some of the other guys take. And on top of that, they don't have to run.
Right.
Sit in the pocket, throw the ball. And Tom doesn't run. Tom runs as little as possible. But when he does run, he lets you know about it. This shit. He look goofy as hell running. But that's neither here nor there. Tom is the GOAT.
His longest run is 13 yards.
His longest run is 15 yards, right?
13.
Career. 13. Career. Longest run. Well, let's compare that to passing.
No, there's no comparison. Brady's a GOAT.
Everybody can't be Lamar, man. Lamar Jackson is a phenomenon, man. I want to see that dude healthy next year because I think Baltimore is a contender.
So is it Jets, Mets, Nets?
I don't like baseball or basketball, really. I only fuck with basketball like in the playoff season. But if I got to pick, I'm going to say Knicks because the Garden is what it is. You know what I'm saying? If I got to pick baseball, of course, I'm going to say Mets because I'm a Long Island kid. You dig? If I got to pick hockey, it'll be Islanders because I'm a Long Island kid. You dig? But, you know, right now, I mean, as far as New York teams go, you gotta look at Buffalo and say, damn. That's a great look for them, man, because if they do go to the big one and they actually win, that's redemption for the Jim Kellys and the Thurman Thomases and the, you know what I mean? The Bruce Smiths and you know, that those four freaking back-to-back Super Bowls that they lost. Especially Jim Kelly, man. That was one of my favorite QBs, even in the USFL. You know what I'm saying?
From the U.
I love him. Mm-hmm.
Salute to them, boys. Salute to Griselda, goddamn.
Yeah.
They beating the front on that end. You know what I mean?
Putting Buffalo on the
map.
Yeah,
but see, that's the thing about hip-hop. People, it used to just be New York. Yeah. And then, you know, we said, hell no, we gonna push this music to the forefront because what we knew it was the shit. West Coast was doing it way back when, but we wasn't getting it. Then when those two connected, all that shit in the middle started to pick up on it. Then you get the Bone Thugs and you got the Swisher House, all those dudes putting it down. Florida been putting it down for years with Luke and them. It's like, hey, hip hop has no boundaries. Wait till, hey, now we got Canada. Look at Drake. Come on, back. A lot of African artists. Woo, fire.
Really?
They come in with fire.
Who should we look out for?
I ain't telling you.
Oh, come on. You got to give me something. You didn't give me the bag. You didn't give me the African artist. You got to give me something.
I don't have any for you. I just know when I hear the songs, man, and it's like flooding the airwaves now. It's found its way into the hip hop culture. And I don't even know the artist, but I'm gonna start exploring more, man. It's been like this for me for the last 2 months now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah.
One of them, DeVito, he good from Africa. Mm.
That's the what? Come on. I hump to that.
Hell yeah.
That joint is fire. That joint fire.
Hell yeah. Wait, you got any favorites these days? You listen to the new type of songs?
Exactly. All of them.
All of them?
All of them. I ain't no hater. Get your money, Young Thug.
Yes.
We had fun when we was getting it. All of them. I love Black Excellence. Just go get it.
Me three.
Can we put you on the spot? Give us a top three in the game right now?
Inspect the deck, inspect the deck, inspect the deck.
Boom.
Oh, inspect the deck, inspect the deck, and third is You God. I'm putting my
third.
UG, You God.
Salute to you, God. Salute to Takao Athletics. You know what I mean? Plugging in. You know what I mean? You got anything else, Tony?
Man, it's just an honor to be talking to you, bro. Like, we grew up, I mean, 36 Chambers is one of my favorite albums. Like, I started listening to it way too young, and that kind of influenced me. Like, my musical taste going forward since I was, like, I don't know, 11, 12, 13 years old. And I just appreciate you stopping by and kicking it with us and just kind of talking shit with us, man, because it's crazy. The game has evolved, and you've been a godfather in the game for damn near 40 years, and you're still killing it, looking good as shit, deadlifting 475 out here. We didn't even talk about lacrosse yet. I mean,
you want to give us a little
something?
Shout out to the PLL Premier Lacrosse League, my boy Paul Rabel, his brother, my boy RJ Kaminsky. They got some good things coming up soon, man. The league is flourishing, and hopefully we can get some urban programs started where some of these black and brown youth can get more into the sport and you know, keep them out of trouble.
Stu Gott's a big lacrosse guy. You know what I mean? Salute to Stu Gotts. I see you, big brother.
Stu! We used to kick their ass. He's from Port Washington, I believe. We used to kick their ass.
Oh, man, I didn't know that part.
They was soft, man. No disrespect to Port Washington, but that team was soft, man. I remember us on the bus ride home talking about how they used to cry. What? We put a player out the game every... What? Cup player, man. They ain't like body checks. Nah, shout out to Stu guys. Shout out to Port Washington. Lacrosse, that's where my lacrosse love started, at Hempstead Tigers. Y'all know what it is.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You got any new music coming out for the last question? Anything to look forward to? Plug time, you know what I mean? What should we be looking out for? What should we be expecting? You know what I mean?
I'm still myself and Havoc. I know people have been worried, you know, wondering about that. It's been delayed for a while because things get in the way. Life gets in the way, and I had obligations, and Havoc as well had obligations, but the album is solid, and we're going to try and get that out this year.
Let's go. Yes, sir. We'll be waiting for that.
Him and Styles P beat me to it, but Styles works so fast. That's one of my fucking favorites right there, man. Styles P.
Yes.
Crazy. The locks, period, man. Word.
Nice. Locks.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir. Tell Poppy I said I love him. Tell him I said que paso.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.